Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday PM, October 14th, 2012.
In this little series on the affections of God, we turn now to the fourth that is mentioned in the Bible, and that is jealousy. Did you know that God is a jealous God? This is what he proclaimed to Israel in the law when he gave it to them. In the 20th chapter of Exodus, giving the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, we read, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me." As we have studied before, the analogy of marriage is alive throughout the whole of the Bible. And we have read where God has told Israel at different times that he was as a husband to Israel in taking care of them, looking after them, and in giving his love unto them. And here he says that he is jealous. Now, a word about this word jealous. In the Hebrew of the Bible and in the Greek of the New Testament, the word jealous and zealous are the same word. And we're going to, in a bit, see the contrast there. But the word jealous and zealous are two different words in English. Jealous always involves a personal element, something that affects me, the person who is jealous. Zealous means the person who feels the affection, the emotion of zealousness. He does not have a personal involvement in the outcome of it. And God did have a personal element in his relationship with Israel because he had done great things for Israel. As he told them there, he brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and he brought them unto himself to make a covenant with them. And he gave them the commandment, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength." And Jesus quoted that in one of his encounters with the Jews. So here God demanded the love of Israel. It's too bad that God has to demand the love of his people. It should be a spontaneous response to what he has done. But anyway, God did have a personal element in his jealousy over Israel, and we're going to see why. In turning to Ezekiel chapter 39 and 25. Ezekiel 39, 25. If I can find it. We read, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob." He's talking about the time after their exile when he brings them back to their land. And have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. One of the commandments of the Decalogue was, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, because to do so takes from the honor that his name should have and that his people should give unto him. And this is not a bad thing for Christians to remember, too. It hurts me sometimes when I hear Christians say, Oh, Lordy, or some other similar thing like that. That's taken the name and title of the Lord in vain. It means we are to take the name of the Lord in worship or in prayer and to hold it as holy and not as just an exclamation. So God is jealous of his name. He does have a personal interest in his name, which is holy and is only to be used in a holy manner. So that has to do with God personally. He is a jealous God, and he is jealous for his name, that it be received proper reverence. But then we see he is also jealous of his people. He is jealous of his land. In the second chapter of the prophet Joel, we read Joel 2:18. Then, that is in that day, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will be jealous over the land of Israel. Now, it's true that he drove the Jews out of their homeland when they forgot and refused to obey the covenant. And he drove them out of their land as punishment to them, and also for their rejection of Jesus when he came. But he does not take lightly the way the enemies of Israel have treated his land. The Babylonians banished them from their land for 70 years, and the Romans banished them from their land, and it has continued for 2,000 years. And God does not take that lightly. And all of this squabbling over in the Middle East, over Palestine, and the jealousy of the nations surrounding Israel, God does not take lightly, for he is jealous for his land. And the land, in the ultimate sense, does not belong to Israel. In the immediate sense, it does. But in the ultimate sense, it belongs to God himself. And many of the prophets made that point very clearly. And throughout the Old Testament, he has repeatedly called it his land. So when you consider what is happening in the Holy Land today, just think of all of the wrath of God that is being stored up, that will, I'm convinced, in the not distant future, will be poured out in the redemption of that land for his people. But then he is also jealous for the city of Jerusalem. And for that, we turn to the first chapter of the book of Zechariah and verse 14, where we read, The angel that communed with me, this is Zechariah writing, and said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. Think about this statement when you think about the Muslims controlling the Temple Mount, when you think about the blasphemous Dome of the Rock there, it's a very beautiful edifice. It's very beautiful, and it's the dominant site on the skyline of Jerusalem. But inside of that Dome of the Rock, there are Arabic writings all around underneath the ceiling, and they are all curses from the Quran against Jews and Christians. God is jealous for Jerusalem, and he is jealous for Zion, and he will, in his own time, take vengeance upon the way that it has been done and the way that the nations have treated Israel. God was jealous for Israel's affections. He said he likened himself unto their husband. He likened himself unto their Savior. He said that he had chosen them for himself. And in the 78th Psalm, and in verse 58, we read, "For they provoked..." Well, let's go back and read a few verses before. "But he made his own people to go forth like sheep," verse 52 of Psalm 78, "and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies, and he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain. He calls Mount Zion his sanctuary, even before the temple was built there, which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, a bow that will not shoot straight. For they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their graven images." So, yes, God had a right to be jealous with the people, and the object of his scorn in his jealousy over Israel was the idols to which they had turned. Hosea calls the idols to which Israel had turned their lovers. The lovers, Israel seeking false lovers, just like Hosea's own wife did literally in their marriage. So they angered him and provoked him to jealousy with their graven images. And he is jealous of Israel. He is jealous of the way they are treated by the nations. In Numbers chapter 25 and verse 11, this is where Israel is camped on the very border of the Promised Land, preparing to cross over Jordan to take possession of the Promised Land that God had brought them to after caring for them for 40 years in the wilderness. And Israel abode in Shittim, that is, the lower Jordan Valley. And the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto sacrifices to their gods. And the people, that is Israel, did eat and bow down to their gods. And the wrath of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And this is the verse where we will see the contrast in the uses of this Hebrew word, jealous or zealous. In verse 11, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, God said, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel by avenging the jealousy of God on those who had participated in this wild orgy. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, and the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. While he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. So here the King James Version has correctly translated the same Hebrew word in English, one time as zealous and the next time as jealous. And the reason why was because he was zealous for the holiness of God and of his worship. He did not have a personal stake in it. He was not party to the idols, and he did not himself make God jealous, but he was very zealous for the holiness of God and against the sin of Israel. And for because of Phinehas, for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. So we see there that God was jealous for the affections of Israel as their God, as their Redeemer, as their spiritual husband, as he had said through many of the prophets. So this same word, jealous or zealous, occurs throughout the Bible, and especially in the Old Testament. So wherever there is a personal involvement in the matter, it means jealous. Wherever there is not a personal involvement in the matter, but on behalf of God, why the meaning of the word is zealous. And we have the situation also in the New Testament. Turning to the 10th chapter of Romans, where the apostle is writing about God's dispensational treatment of Israel and also of the Gentiles. In the 10th chapter of Romans and in verse 19, we'll start with verse 14 to follow Paul's thought unbroken. How shall they then call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, speaking of Israel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. And then in the 11th chapter and in the 11th verse, but we'll read a little ahead of that too. Paul is adding scripture after scripture to prove his point. And in verse 8 of the 11th chapter, he says, "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber," words of Isaiah, "eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day," explaining the mystery of Israel's rejection of Christ, and not responding to the gospel. And David saith, "Let their table be made a snare, and their trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation is come to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?" So Paul is explaining here Israel's position in his day and in our day. He said God had turned to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy, and it worked, and it works to this day. The reason why the Jews became so bitterly incensed at Paul was they listened to his defense courteously until he said unto them that God had said he would send them far off to the Gentiles. And this angered them that the Gentiles should be considered the equals of Jews. And it did provoke them to jealousy. And this was one of the reasons for their bitter hatred and persecution of the Jewish believers that believed on Christ. This is why they were so bitter against Paul taking the gospel of Jesus to the Gentiles, and they dogged his tracks everywhere he went, whether in Antioch and Pisidia, or in Ephesus, or in Philippi, or in Corinth, or in Rome. They dogged his steps, coming after him and trying their best to belittle him, to turn people away from the gospel, and they did work that they were jealous. And it works to this very day. I was reading an article surprisingly in an archaeological magazine explaining why the Jews will not even consider accepting Christ. It's because they fear for their own identity. They fear that they will be absorbed into the Gentile nations if they accept Christianity. They think that any time a Jew accepts Jesus as the Messiah, that he has betrayed his people. So this jealousy continues to this very day. And it had the effect that God said that he did it, but the effect was not beneficial on them. It just kept them from believing the gospel. But the Jews are not the only ones who provoke God to jealousy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 10 and verse 22, he's discussing what Gentile believers should and should not do in accommodating their lives to the realities of idolatry in the city of Corinth, which was very idolatrous and also very immoral. He said in verse 19, "What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to the idol is anything? The expected answer is no. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not unto God. And that was quoted from Deuteronomy 32:17. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. But ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You can accommodate your life to the culture to a point, but not beyond the point when it brings discredit to the Lord or to the gospel. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? And I fear that many Christians have and are provoking the Lord to jealousy by the lives that they live and by their conforming their life and their affections to the things of this life, to the things of the world, and become entangled in the things of the world. So for us, the Lord is jealous also. But then turning over to 2 Corinthians, to that very familiar passage, in 2 Corinthians 11, it becomes even more clear and more personal. Would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, because that's what he accuses them of doing, just putting up with him. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Paul did have a stake in this, because he was the one who introduced them to Christ. And it was not just giving Christ to jealousy that was painful, but painful to him personally. I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband. Here again, this analogy of marriage, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Here he is not speaking corporately to the church. He is speaking personally to Christians. And the next verse shows that. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his cunning, so your minds, or as the English Standard Version has it, so your thoughts, it can be translated either way, so your thoughts should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ, or their thoughts should be turned away from the true devotion to Christ, is the way the English Standard Version has it. So Paul is jealous for those whom he had introduced to Christ, and the Lord is jealous for our affections too. Not for our material affections, what we have for each other, but for our spiritual affections, for the things that determine our life, for the things that determine our decisions, for things that determine the way we go. He is jealous for our decisions. He is jealous for our good. He is jealous for the evil that comes upon his people too, just like he was for Israel. So the Lord is a jealous God, and he is jealous of our affections, and he is worthy of, as Jesus put it to the rich young ruler, of our affections, of our mind, and our strength, and our heart, and our whole being. Many Christians, I fear, are letting their thoughts stray from the simple gospel of the love of God in Christ Jesus, and in the love for which, with which he died for us, and for which he orders our life. He deserves everything that we are. So yes, God is jealous. And next time we'll read some more of positive passions and affections.